All right, here we go.
Welcome to another live episode of the Wisco Fanatic Show, where we discuss the Packers, Bucks, Brewers, Badgers football, and basketball from an optimistic perspective. Wisco Fanatics is brought to you by Cardboard Legacy, Wisconsin's most complete sports card shop. Buy, sell, grade, and consign all at their location in Oshkosh.
Welcome back to another episode of Wisco Fanatics. It is a full house. I am back. I am not shitting my brains out anymore, so that's great. That's a great feeling. I feel like shaking that again, so it's nice.
I left that out.
Nope. Have to tell the people I was dying last week. It was horrible. But Simon is also here, so there's going to be a lot of dumb things said. I'm just kidding. I missed you, buddy. Hi, Bryant. How you doing, man?
Good. How are you doing?
So I teased you guys, and I asked you, did you see the Xavier McKinney tweet yesterday? And you both said no. Mm-mm. Now, I told Tyler before the show because I couldn't help myself. It's so good. It is so good. Are you guys ready for this?
Yep.
He tweeted this yesterday at 9:52 in the morning, by the way. So he was angry all day.
Woke up and chose violence or what?
He said, done being humble with you MFers. Stop acting like you don't know who I am or what I do. I am him in all capital letters.
Who pissed him off?
Yeah.
So not only did we get the best safety on the market and our weakest skill position on the team, we got a guy going into his prime who's pissed off. And that is a perfect transition because today we are talking about safeties and corners. So we're going to talk about some safeties. Not going to lie to you, I'm not super impressed. There's a couple guys who I'm like, okay. He's pretty good. The other guys are kind of like, yeah, he needs a lot of work. A lot of rough edges around this guy. But one of these guys might be lucky enough to play with Xavier McKinney and learn the ways of being pissed off and really good at football. So without further ado.
Wait, hold on. Before we start, isn't that like the perfect match for our DB room in general?
I was gonna say,
talks a lot. Carrington Valentine talks a lot.
Yeah. Like, these guys, we could add more too when we get to corners.
To expect some, roughing flags and stuff this year when wide receivers finally get sick of being shut down and chirped at, to where they finally kind of go full Andre Johnson on someone.
I saw a reel the other day and it was like playoff Jennings, and they're talking about Juwan Jennings getting pushed into the Gatorade. And I was like, dude, he just got manhandled. Why are you talking about playoff Jennings?
Scott said, what's up from a Minnesota Packers fan? What's up, Scott? Thanks for checking us out while there are other sports games going on. So, all right. So we're going to jump into safeties. And Jake, I'm going to go to you first. Jake, who's your number one safety?
I really didn't want to. I wanted to put one of my guys up there, but I couldn't. My number one is Tyler Newbin from Minnesota.
I also have Tyler Newbin number one. Bryant, who is your number one?
Yeah, Tyler Newbin.
Simon, judging by your nodding. All right, Tyler Newbin's your guy, so who is yours?
It was, like, super unfortunate he didn't test well because, like, his tape is, like, nothing like it. This is, like, Jake kind of alluded to, like, it's a kind of weak safety class as a whole, but I think Tyler Newbin's tape kind of outshines literally everyone. So he's 22 years old, 6'1", 199 pounds. He only had a 2.91 RAS.
Did he not test in some things at all? Or is it just
I have to go back and look at this card. I forget what he didn't test.
I'll pull it up while you're talking.
All right. So he played most of his snaps as a deep safety with over 450 snaps, allowed 6 receptions on 20 targets, allowed only a 49.6 rating, four forced incompletions, and had 5 interceptions last year. So for pros, he has a great first step, a really quick back pedal, desire to make big hits on the ball carrier, can be an effective blitzer. I think he has pretty elite ball skills, and he has great anticipation for where the ball is going on plays. Some of the cons that I saw was, like, he kind of leads with the crown of his helmet, a little bit too much and gets a little over aggressive in his pursuit angles. And he obviously didn't test well athletically.
He did all of the things too.
They get his three cone in there. I don't know if I saw that, but
his three cone is at 7.2 seconds. So his score on that is 3.78 out of 10.
That's not great.
Yeah.
The only thing that's green on his relative athletic scorecard is his height. Everything else is yellow and red.
Yeah. And people are excited for him to be a Packer. That's because of that. They say they don't look at that stuff, but if you go back and look at who they've actually drafted,
yeah,
it's like very, very few that they've drafted anyone even below four. And it's...
So it's not... I don't think they... It's not that they don't look at... Like, they probably don't look at Raz, but like they have their own metrics or like formula they follow that's like probably pretty close.
Yeah. I'm sure every team does.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, let's jump into number two. Jake, who's your number two?
Javon Bullard from Georgia. And I'm going to get into him. He's my first guy. You want to talk about a guy who talks some trash. Boy, does he fit in. We were just talking about it. He fits perfectly. Every play he made, he let you know about it after the play, and then he let you know about it before the next play. He did not care. He was going to tell you, oh, you didn't catch that ball on me? Guess what? You're going to hear about it in the fourth quarter. I don't care if that was the first play of the game. You're going to hear about it. I love that about him. I love guys with an edge, especially DBs, man. You're going to give up plays as a DB. It's just a nature, right? But to have that ability to shut that off and still go out there and be a dog, he barks. It kind of reminds me. I was sad about Pat Bev the other day when I was watching his film, so this made me feel a lot better. But let's get back into it. 5'10", 198 pounds, a 4.4 40. He's a very hard hitter. Not afraid to go downhill. Diagnoses run plays and pass plays very well. He can run with anybody down the field. And in my opinion, he's the best man coverage safety in this draft. I don't think it's even close. I was watching some film of him at the Senior Bowl because I wasn't lucky enough like Tyler to be able to be there in person, maybe next year. But I was watching some film of him one-on-ones with the tight ends and wide receivers, and he was absolutely locking all of them up in man coverage. So that was phenomenal. Shows his football IQ and route recognition. He's very good at anticipating plays. He was the 2023 AP All-ACC, and he was the 2022 Defensive MVP in the Peach Bowl, which they played against Ohio State. You guys remember that hit against Marvin Harrison where he got knocked out?
Yeah.
That was my boy. Cleaned his clock. Nice. And in the national championship, he was also the defensive game MVP for Georgia. So this guy's a big game player, big playmaker, and I think he would look good in green and gold. Why not? Let's just take all the Georgia defenders and put them in Green Bay, and we'll see what happens.
Yeah, we'll eventually have the Georgia defense.
Yeah.
All right, my number two, I also have Javon Bullard. Brian, who do you have it to?
This isn't me being biased. I know he's one of my guys, and this might surprise you, but that's where I put Jaden Hicks
for me. I'm not mad at it.
I'm not mad at it either. I like Hicks.
So talking about size and speed, I know at first Jaden Hicks didn't run well, but at his pro day, he increased that. So Jaden Hicks has measurements at 6'2 and a half, 215 pounds, and around a 4.4940. So his relative athletic score was like 8.94, something around that way area right there. So, elite, you know, pretty good elite size, I would say, for that position. Not too big. You know, I know there's a safety that's like 6'4", and then people are like, I don't know about that. It's a little too big. But Jaden Hicks is right where you probably want the max size, I would say, and good speed. He's a versatile player. He has plays with high football IQ. He's very good at anticipating the play, which allows him to be and being able to anticipate. He's able to be aggressive, especially in the support against the run and blitzing the passer. He has the physicality to be a safety that's close to the line and a box safety. So I think he'd be an excellent complement to McKinney. This is someone I do hope we can get in the second round. So he does need to work on his open field tackling a little bit and the angles he takes. And there's a little concern with his, straight a vertical speed, but I don't think that's he kind of showed he has that speed on his pro day.
That's almost like a consistent thing across this whole class that a lot of these guys don't have, like the straight downhill, you know, 4.3 something 40 speed.
Yep. So, and he only played 2 years, had 4 sacks in college, so he can get after the quarterback. He had 3 interceptions, you know, so I he's just really versatile, and I think he would be a really good compliment to McKinney, to be honest.
Yeah, I like it. Simon, who's your number two?
Cam Kitchens.
Three.
Really that high, huh?
I like this tape a lot. It's just, like, if he tested athletically better, then I feel like he'd be a lot on. My bad.
Yeah, that's Jake's.
My bad.
That's Jake's other guy. All right, Jake, who's your number three?
Who I'm going to talk about right now. I was flipping a coin between him and Bullock, to be honest with you. But Cam Kitchens makes me a little bit upset. You watch his film, and he shows the ability to be an elite center fielder at times, and he shows really good range. Goes and gets the ball, and it seemed like when Miami needed a turnover, he would go and get the dang ball, right? Like, hey, we need the ball back, you know, so we can have a chance to win. Go get the ball, please. And he would do that, but he would also take some terrible angles, especially when trying to tackle, which none of us want to deal with, right? We don't want people taking bad angles and missing tackles. We've seen enough of that.
Yep.
And then every once in a while, you know, Miami blitzed him a few times last year, and he looked good doing that. They put him down into the box every once in a while because he's not small, but he's not overly big. 5'11", 209. I mean, that's pretty good size. He's got, you know, an NFL body already. But they would put him in the box, and he would just chuck a tight end and make a play on the boundary one-on-one with a running back. And you're like, oh, okay, there might be something here. And then he would go to try to tackle a running back, and I thought he was playing powder puff football for a second. And I'm like – can you please just decide if you want to be good? I don't know what's happening anymore. Who am I? What are you, the same player? Did you switch with like your twin or something? I don't know what's going on. He's so inconsistent in so many areas that it's hard to judge him. But if we're judging him off of potential, he's the third best safety in this draft, in my opinion. That was my bottom line.
It's, I feel that way so much about so many of these players, and my list is, it reflects that because the safeties are all over the place.
I was going to say that before we began, I wouldn't be surprised if each one of us had something completely different.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, when we get to my number three, it's going to be interesting. Simon, who's your number three?
I have Javon Bullard, number three.
Okay. Bryant, who's your number three?
Javon Bullard.
Okay. Here we go. My number three, I have Dadrian Taylor-Demerson.
Oh.
So, Wow. Again, in a weird safety class.
I like it.
Dadrian Taylor-Demerson from Texas Tech. He is 5'10", 197. He does have a high RAS at 8.87. He ran a 4.41 40. He allowed 20 receptions on 35 targets. That's 57.1%. He allowed a 65.0 passer rating. He had 6 passes defensed, 4 interceptions, and only a 10.2 missed tackle percentage. So we talk about it all throughout the season all the time about making tackles. He's actually a reliable tackler. That's honestly, when we're talking about anything defensively, tackling is going to be one of my main factors always.
Mm-hmm.
So looking at Taylor-Demerson, he also has some versatility, I think. He played 485 safety snaps. He played 202 slot snaps, and he played 113 snaps in the box. He turned that into 79 tackles, and on 16 pass rushes, he had 8 pressures and a sack.
Pretty good.
In 2022, he had 5 passes defensed, 3 interceptions, 2 forced fumbles, and a fumble recovery. And this is my biggest thing. This is why I have him so high, because I do think he is a guy who can be like the center fielder and can be a responsible run defender and box defender. That's why I have him so high on my list. He makes good adjustments. He can hit hard. And he's also played 2,859 career snaps. So he's experienced as well. Honestly, the only things that I would change about him is make him 3 inches taller so he could cover tight ends more effectively.
I think that's why I have him a little lower.
Yeah, like, if he was 6'1", he'd probably be my number one, to be honest with you. Hmm. If he was 6'1", say 205 instead of 5'10", 197, he'd probably be my number one safety.
I respect it.
All right. Jake, who is your number four?
That's where I have Kalen Bullock out of USC.
Okay. Simon, who's your number four?
I have Jaden Hicks.
Okay. Bryant, who's your number four?
That's where I have DTD. So.
Oh, all right. Well, I'm glad I'm not super far off. I'm not feeling crazy for
it. You have Cam Kitchens really fucking low then.
I do. Yeah, I really do. I told Jake I was this close to being able to put him lower. It's a weird and not exciting safety class.
Yeah,
it's number four is also where I have Jaden Hicks. Jake, who's your number five?
That's where I have DTD.
All right, I'm down to call him DTD. I'm with that. That's a lot easier to say than Dadreon Taylor Demerson.
Yeah, I wasn't saying all that.
I'm with it. Simon, who's your number five?
Number five is Kalen Bullock.
Okay. Bryant, number five?
That's where I have Kalen Bullock. So for me, that's one of my guys. My other guy is Kalen Bullock. He's 6'2", 188, ran a 4.4, 8.40. So another guy that displayed, you know, really good size and speed mix. Strong tackler. He's not scared to be physical. Another thing about him is he has elite ball skills. So, God damn it. Anyways, so he, over his three college games, seasons, he had 9 interceptions. 2 of those he turned for return for touchdown. So one season he had 5 interceptions. So he's good at reading the quarterback and has placed strong play recognition. However, one of the things he will get beat. Every year his quarterback rating given up kind of went up a little bit. So he's more of a guy that's going to need someone that has strong coverage ability around him. So that's why I think he could be possibly a good fit, because he's more of the ball hawking type, and he's going to get, you know, stick his nose in there and hit somebody. So, you know, that's not a bad thing. You know, there's a spot on the team for someone like that. So he can play in man and zone coverage as well. And he's good on special teams. That was another thing, is he'll come in right away and play on special teams. That's, you know, he plays special teams for USC. So, and then he does lack the elite explosiveness, and he needs to improve the angles he takes to make those tackles. So he'll get beat some, but he is someone that's probably going to, you know, get a couple picks a year, maybe force a couple fumble or two, because he's going to be hitting people with his, you know, with the size and speed. So, you know, kind of chalk for the safety class, to be honest. I really don't feel like there's anyone that's like, you know, we all had Tyler Newbin first, but I don't feel like there's anyone that just strides ahead of anyone with
like a must get.
That's why I feel like getting McKinney was so important once you actually start to kind of deep dive into the safety class. And I know Simmons is still out there, and I would not be mad if they just said, you know what, we don't, if someone we don't want doesn't fall to us in the draft, like, don't reach for somebody.
I would absolutely still be interested in drafting one, even if they were to add Simmons.
As long as we don't reach, I'm good with it.
You add Simmons on a 1-year deal and draft somebody like Dadreon Taylor Demerson in like the third or fourth round, and you have Xavier McKinney and Justin Simmons to play and then show him the ropes. Like, I would love that for the Packers safety room.
At this point, Simmons is going to get a really cheap contract somewhere too.
Yep.
Someone's going to give him a real cheap contract.
Why not bring him to a place where he'd have a competitive team and a really good person next to him?
Yep. And he's going to get, like, he's not going to have to worry about, like, playing time at all. Like, he's going to get playing time.
And he's played in the cold before. That's the main thing for me. He's played outside in the cold, so that'd be another check mark for him.
Alrighty, so my number five, that's where I have my other guy. I originally was going to cover Cole Bishop because I liked him at the Senior Bowl, but I had somebody else that was at the Senior Bowl that I ended up ranking a little bit higher that I decided to cover instead, and that's where I have Kitan Oladipo. Oladipo. I've heard it pronounced multiple ways. Oladipo, so Oladipo was from Oregon State. He's 6'2", 216, so he is big.
Put together.
Big. This is an important thing to mention. He's played 3 straight seasons of not missing a game. 13 games in 3 straight seasons. He's another guy that can play all over the field. Looking at his snap breakdowns, He played 292 snaps in the box, 174 snaps at safety, and 278 snaps in the slot. So just a really balanced snap count across the field. He played two of his best games against Washington and USC. So playing well against good competition, I feel, is worth mentioning. Mm-hmm. He allowed 21 receptions on 36 targets. That's 58.3%, which is pretty low, and a 61.3 passer rating, which is also low. In 2023, he had 7 pass breakups, 2 interceptions, and 2 forced fumbles. Over his last 3 seasons, he's broken up 22 passes. In his career, he also has 6.5 sacks, and he's played 2,651 snaps. So, again, another guy who's pretty experienced on the field. His missed tackle percentage is 12.1. It's not super high, but that's where you start getting into that gray area. I feel like once you start getting over like 11, 12, 13%, once you start to get over that, that's where it's like, okay, that's a little high. So being around 12%, that's still in the gray area, but not bad. My only downside with Oladipo, again, just like a lot of other guys on here, he's not overly fast. And some of that comes with his size, but it's just a nature of this class as far as safeties go. You're either smaller and faster or you're bigger and slower, and that's just kind of where we're at. Jake, who is your number 6?
That's right. I'm Jaden Hicks.
All right. Simon, who's your number 6?
I have Cole Bishop, number 6.
Okay. Brian, who's your number 6?
I have Cole Bishop, number 6.
Okay. 6 is where I have Cam Kitchens. So not crazy low, but he's lower for me. Jake, who's your number 7?
That's where I have Ketan Oladapo.
You've done worse.
Dude, that name is, I don't know how to say that. There's so many
ways. It's not that bad.
I kind of wish his first name was Kaitan.
Dude, your English language is bad, bro. Have you?
Yeah, the English language is bad.
Like, the word pneumonia, does it even need a P? Like, why is the P in the word pneumonia? Why?
So you hate the word pterodactyl, too?
Yeah, why is there a K in knife? Knife? Why is there a K in knife? The English language sucks.
All right. Next week's show with running backs and linebackers is going to be brought to you in Latin. Simon, who is your number 7?
I'm gonna go Sesame Street. I have a Sion Vaki.
All right, go ahead.
Sion Vaki, 22 years old. He's 5'11, 210 pounds, 8.54 RAS. So he's like one of the weird two-way players that you see nowadays. He had over 500 yards from scrimmage on offense playing running back, and he also played a little bit of Wildcat and scored 5 touchdowns. He kind of recently had a press conference where he's like, I want to play defense. Like, yeah. I want to go out there and hit people. He was also smart and probably realized that running backs don't last in the NFL. Smart. Sure.
he got thrust into that spot because of some injuries. Yeah, and give him all the credit in the world for stepping.
I mean,
up
he played well.
He did. It's like,
yeah, okay, he played well.
I'll be straight up honest with you. When I'm watching, like, I was watching Utah highlights. Like, I was watching their like game. So I was watching like Utah versus other teams, and I was watching like condensed games or whatever. And I'm like, I'm seeing running plays. I'm like, who the fuck is number 28? Like, they don't have a number 28 running back. I'm like, who is that? And then I finally saw his name on the back of his jersey. I'm like, no, there is no way that that's who that is. And yeah, it's Vake.
Yeah. So on defense, though, because he is coming out as a safety, he played over 300 snaps at deep. And then he also had 100 box and slot snaps apiece, allowed 20 catches on 29 targets with a rating of 88. He forced one incompletion and had one interception this last year. He's a very willing and capable hitter and run support, and he's very good at blowing up screens. So that means he has good anticipation on plays. He has good ball skills and tracks the ball well downfield. Good job of reading the QB's eyes and reacting, and quick feet and excellent change of direction. Some of the cons are he's inconsistent getting off blocks, and he needs to tighten his angles in pursuit and tends to over-pursue players a little bit.
Yeah. All right, Bryant, who is your number 7 safety?
My number 7 is Ketan Oladapo.
All right, 7 is where I have Cole Bishop. Jake, who's your number eight?
That's where I have Bo Braid.
Okay. So, Simon, number eight.
Now we're all over the place.
We are all over the place. The consensus for this is going to be weird. A nightmare.
The consensus is going to be.
We're going to have like a consensus like top four.
I knew this was going to happen. Number eight, I have Tyke Smith.
Okay. He didn't make my top 12, so here we are. Bryant, who is your number eight?
That's where I have Cam Kitchens.
Okay. I told Jake I was like, I could have, that was this close to putting him at number eight when we were doing pre-show stuff. So number eight is where I have Kalen Bullock. Jake, who's your number nine?
Cole Bishop.
Simon, nine.
Malik Mustafa.
Okay. Bryant, nine.
Bo Braid.
Number nine is where I have Sione Vaque. So Jake, who's your number 10?
Tyke Smith.
Simon, 10.
Ketan Oladapo.
Bryant, 10.
James Williams.
10 is where I have Josh Proctor from Ohio State.
My list.
Jake, who's your number 11?
That's where I have Malik Mufasa.
Mustafa?
Mustafa.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I was thinking Lion King. Thinking Lion King. Thinking Lion King.
Okay. If you had just, like, played it and been like, yeah, Mufasa, that's what I said, and, like, actually, like, acted like you were pretending to do it on purpose. You said it with such conviction. You're like, it's
Malik Mufasa. I try to, like, quick look before you ask me, and for some reason, Mufasa just popped in my brain.
that's
awesome. A meme waiting to happen, dude. I'm telling you.
All right, Simon, who's your number 11?
Are you going to put Mustafa next to his name? Or put Mufasa next to his name?
I'll put it in, like, right in parentheses. Yeah. Or in quotation marks.
Number 11, DDT. DTD.
DDT. All right. And Bryant, who's your number 11?
Simpson.
Okay. Number 11 is where I have Dominique Hampton from Washington. Jake, who is your number 12?
Echo, Dominique Hampton.
All right. Simon, 12?
Bo Braid.
Bryant, 12?
Tyke Smith.
12 is where I also have Bo Braid. So... yeah, guys, you can send me your lists here, and we'll see if we have enough players outside of number one to have a consensus.
I think we have a consensus up to, like, number six.
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
Or it'll be, like, a consensus where it'll be, like how I do the consensus is, like, if you, like, add up where everybody's ranks are. So, like, if we have ones across the board, you get a four.
Yeah.
So, like, if Jake has two, Simon has two, and then Bryant and I have 12, it's going to be 28, and it's going to be like, okay, yep, all right, well, that's where that's going to go. So,
what do you do if three people have one person, one doesn't?
If anybody's outside of the top 12, I just give them a 13 automatically.
Okay, I gotcha.
I don't spend too much time being like, no, I need everybody's top 20 so that I can get everybody's... players that they had on here at all. Yeah, I don't, like, go that far. If you're not in somebody's top 12, you just get a 13.
Cornerbacks, I feel like, are going to be a little easier to deal with.
Yeah.
See, now I could see why you'd say that, but we'll see.
You, I don't think you're going to like my number one. Tyler's going to like it, though. I know that for sure.
Wait, why do you think I'm not going to like your number one?
I don't think you're going to.
I think there's going to be a difference of opinion. I'm interested.
Well, I think so, too.
Okay. Well, straight up, let's just get it going. Simon, who's your number one cornerback?
Nate Wiggins.
Oof. I love it.
I'm not mad at that, actually. I love Nate Wiggins.
Green Bay will not take Nate Wiggins, but I love him.
He's my guy. I love him, too.
He's too thin.
When I get to him, I love Nate Wiggins.
I love Nate Wiggins.
He's too small.
When you were talking about attitude, when you guys were talking about, when Jake was talking about his guy on the safety room, I'm like, bro, just wait till we get to Nate Wiggins.
I love Nate Wiggins. He was my favorite to watch.
Interesting. All right, Bryant, who's your number one cornerback?
That's where Quinyon Mitchell.
All right. Jake, who's your number one? Either.
My number one. You want to say it at the same time?
All right. One, two, three. Cooper DeJean.
Yeah, no. Cooper DeJean is my number one. He does everything. He does all of the things that you could do on a football field, he does them. He does them well. He plays corner. He's getting looked at as a safety. He was a punt returner. He was covering punts kick coverage. He does everything. In high school, he lettered 3 years in a row in football, basketball, and baseball, and he also ran track.
Did you watch his basketball clips?
He can ball. This guy's good at everything. I am 100% certain that he's one of those annoying people that, you know, you show him a board game for the first time and then they win and you're like, I hate you. He's one of those. I could tell already. He is a winner. 6'1", 203, so he's got size to him. He had 30 tackles, 7 assists, 10 stops, 3 pass breakups, 2 interceptions, and a 40.6 quarterback rating over 10 games. Consensus All-American. He was a finalist for the Jim Thorpe and the Bruno Nagurski Award. Great run defender. He went one-on-one. I saw this twice in the game I watched against Northwestern. He went up one-on-one versus their right tackle and won in the run game, stretching the run game out and just going low and attacking the hip. He did it perfectly. He is a natural zone defender, and he has great closing speed. I'm telling you, this guy's just good at everything. Like, the other guys are, like, elite specialists at things. He is the most well-rounded, in my opinion.
He had his pro day, right? Like, recently?
It's Monday.
Or, like, yep, he, yeah, that's coming up. Okay, Monday, I was waiting for that to come out.
Yeah, so that could have skewed me some, depending on what those numbers end up being.
It will be interesting. But if I was going to explain him using, you know, words here, I would say physicality, instinctive play, and ball hawk. Those are the four words I would use to describe Cooper DeJean.
Say that passer rating again, because that's what made him my number one.
A 40.6 quarterback rating over 10 games.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, that's not normal. Also, the year before, he had 5 interceptions, 3 of them. You saw his punt return skills come to fruition because he returned it for touchdowns.
Yeah.
He's good.
Yeah. That like I said, that passer rating is what sold him as my number one. But number two is where I have Quinyon Mitchell. So, Bryant, who is your number two?
That's right. I have Terrion Arnold.
Okay. Ooh. I like it. I like it. Simon, who's your number two?
I have Quinyon Mitchell.
Okay.
22 years old, 6 foot tall, 195 pounds. 9.75 RAS, played 677 snaps on the outside corner, allowed a completion percentage of 43.5%, a passer rating of 51.1, 290 yards for 17 incompletions.
Jeez.
And one interception in 2023. He was excellent in both man and zone coverage. He's just a really good athlete. Above average body control, explosiveness, and top speed. Very smooth backpedal. Uses explosiveness to break on the ball very well. He's very good at baiting quarterbacks into throwing where they don't think he's going to catch up. Excellent anticipation and off coverage. Sometimes he can lack some instincts in zone coverage and can be over-aggressive against double move. And he's inconsistent in press coverage.
Alrighty, Jake, who do you have number two?
That's where I have Quinyon Mitchell.
All right. Number three is where I have Terrion Arnold, and he was actually the first corner that I scouted, and I dibsed him in our chat right away. I wanted Terrion Arnold, and I could have seen any of these top three being in any order, to be honest, with Cooper DeJean, Quinyon Mitchell, and Terrion Arnold. So Terrion Arnold is from Alabama. He's 6 foot, 189. He had a 9.14. RAS. He was first team all SEC, first team all American. He allowed 41 receptions on 79 targets. That's 51.9%. Like, stop throwing the ball at him. Like, you're barely completing half your passes when you throw the ball in his direction. He had 13 pass breakups and 5 interceptions. And on those 5 interceptions, he had 69 return yards.
Nice.
Had to put that in there. He also had 6.5 tackles for loss and allowed a 50.7 passer rating. He's fantastic at turning his head back to the ball in coverage. He has great closing speed. He's very good play recognition when it comes to runs and screens. An 11.1 missed tackle percentage, that's pretty low. I will take that. He had 11 pass rushes that yielded 4 pressures and a sack. As far as cons or things that I would change, he did have 2 bad games in the middle of the season. Otherwise, he was very consistent.
My mornings are chaos. I need coffee that works as hard as I do. That's why I drink Everyday Dose, coffee with benefits. It's rich, delicious coffee boosted with mushrooms, collagen, and nootropics. Everything I need for focus and balance, ready in 30 seconds. The Black Friday sale is on. Get 61% off your first coffee plus starter kit, a free A2 probiotic creamer, and over $100 in free gifts. Plus, enter for a chance to win $100 cash or get your entire order refunded. Visit everydaydose.com/podcast or use code podcast at checkout.
There's, you know, we've talked about some of these defensive backs, especially the safeties more so, where guys can have really good games and really bad games and really good games, really bad games. Terrion Arnold has been pretty consistent outside of, like I said, the 2 bad games that he had in the middle of the season. And then similar to what Simon was saying about Quinyon Mitchell, he's not the best at being close to the line of scrimmage. So I know one of the main things that people want to get away from now that Joe Barry is gone is playing off the line of scrimmage. That is generally what Terrion Arnold is better at. So, Bryant, who is your number 3?
Mine is Nate Wiggins.
Okay. Simon, number 3?
Terrion Arnold.
Okay. Jake, number 3?
A corner that best fits Green Bay, Nate Wiggins.
All right. Number 4, that's where I have Nate Wiggins. That's my other guy. So, Nate Wiggins, 6'1", 173 pounds. I like him to get that weight up a little bit. From Clemson, he is a 9.41 RAS because he ran a 4.28 40-yard dash.
That boy fast!
Yeah, he's fast.
Insane speed. So, he allowed – this is just another one of those guys. Just don't throw at him. 18 receptions on 41 targets. That's a 43.9 completion percentage. He allowed a 44.4 passer rating. And that's where, like, when Simon said that he has Nate Wiggins number 1, I can see it.
Yeah.
And I like that. I'm totally down with it. He's really good at jumping routes. And this is what I wrote in my notes about him. He is a straight jacket in coverage. He's played 2 of his best games versus his best competition, which would be North Carolina, where Drake May is coming from. He's going to be probably a top 5 pick. And Florida State, who went undefeated. And you're talking about Keon Coleman, a wide receiver who could also end up in the first round.
Yep.
He was first team, all ACC. I will say I think he needs some work in zone coverage and against the run. He did miss 13.3% of tackles, and he missed 2 games in the 2023 season. And like I said, at 173 pounds, I would like to see him add a little bit of weight and maybe add some production. So in 2023, he had 4 pass breakups and 2 interceptions. However, in 2022, he did have 13 pass breakups. So better in 2022. And again, that could be one of those things where it's like, if you don't hear a cornerback's name, that's a good thing because it means you're not throwing in their direction. Which, like I said, if he's a straight jacket in coverage, eventually teams are going to stop throwing at him because there's just nowhere to go with the ball. Now, with Nate Wiggins, he plays, and this would be in all capitals, very aggressive. Nate Wiggins is very aggressive. So will not shock me if he has a penalty problem in his rookie season in the NFL. Now, I could see that being a pro. We talked about having attitude in the secondary room. We have Jair Alexander and Xavier McKinney on the same team now. We're just talking about bringing Justin Simmons in, if something like that. Or Nate Wiggins, who I think is probably the biggest attitude in the defensive backs out of all of them. It'd be very interesting to see, and it would make our secondary mean, and I'm here for it. So he was also his attitude was the reason that I have him as my number 4, as my tiebreaker over my number 5. So when we get to that point. So, Jake, who is your number 5?
My number 5?
Kool-Aid. Skip 4.
Oh, yeah. Did I skip 4? Oh, yeah, I started 4 by myself. Sorry. Jake, who's your 4?
My 4, that's where I have Arnold.
Okay. Simon, who's your 4?
Kool-Aid.
Okay, that's who I have. Yeah, well, let me get Bryant's number 4 first.
Cooper DeJean.
Okay. Five is where I have Kool-Aid McKinstry. And looking at Kool-Aid and Nate Wiggins, it was the attitude that separated Wiggins above him for me. So, Jake, who's your number five?
That's where I have Kool-Aid. I will say, who has Kool-Aid? Oh, never mind. I'll wait. I read a really cool thing about him, so I'll let you go first.
Okay. Was it the Kool-Aid thing you did at the combine?
No. It actually means something in football terms.
All right, Simon, who's your number five?
Cooper DeJean.
Okay. Bryant, who's your number five?
That's where I have Kool-Aid, McKinstry.
Okay.
So 6 foot, 199 pounds, 4.47 40. This is the best name in the draft, right? How fun would it be for him to like get a pick six, all the other defensive linemen line up?
I don't know. There's some really cool fucking names.
Oh, yeah. How awesome would that be?
Right, he's got to be. If you got to get like one of the, you got to get like one of the paper sheets and have him burst through it.
Dude, like I want to draft him just because I know that would be a touchdown celebration. Okay. It would be amazing.
Just on your name point really quick, let me throw another name out there that I think is really badass. Ennis Rakestraw.
Yeah, that's a good name.
But he's on your guys' list, right?
Yeah.
Now, yeah. Kool-Aid is a nickname.
So really? Interesting. Sorry, Brian, go ahead.
Yeah, so Kool-Aid is a nickname, but it's still a sweet nickname. Anyways, the whole celebration would just be sick to have happen, you know what I mean? So so he's shown the ability to switch up and play both outside and sliding in the slot without missing a beat. He's really good in good zone coverage quarterback. He does well reading and reacting to plays. He also has the agility, aggressiveness, and quickness to utilize the bump and run. Also another player that, you know, can get up and attack the ball. He only had two interceptions, but in his time in college, but he has a, you know, fair number of pass breakups and pass defenses as well. One of the things that really I think is good about him is he's like a field general. He's really good at communicating with his teammates, putting him in, telling him to get to, you know, lined up correctly. So he's not shy about that. His last season, he allowed a completion rate of just 48% and a pass rating of 73.1. So that's really respectable. He can struggle a little bit against the deep ball, and kind of like Tyler was saying with Nate Wiggins, is I think the first year he might struggle with some flags because at the breaks of routes, he's really handsy. He likes to get his hands on people and is probably going to draw some flags until he kind of, you know, he goes through our drill where we put boxing gloves on him or whatever we do. So, but yeah, that's pretty much what I have for Kool-Aid.
Okay. I think there's a few corners like that are kind of a little grabby. Steve said PFF says he is assignment sure.
Yes, he knows where to be at all times on the field.
So another cool name real quick, Jamari Thrash. I know we're not going to get
into that. I know, I like Jamari Thrash. I actually liked him as a wide receiver when I was doing some article writing earlier in the year.
You did touch on what I wanted to say, but the quote that I read was that he's called a coach on the field.
Yeah.
So I really love that from him, honestly. That's a big thing. Especially when you think about who his coach was, Nick Saban, his weight holds a little weight to it, you know? So being the leader of that defense means something.
This would be another pick that I would be very happy with in the first round.
Yep.
You know what else would be cool? If he took Kool-Aid packs out of his socks and started throwing them in the stands.
What flavor do you think he would have in there?
Okay.
That's a good question.
Okay.
I love me some orange Kool-Aid.
Maybe Michael asked, is Kool-Aid's injury any concern?
Fruit punch, man.
Fruit, gross, dude. Grape all the way.
Oh, my God.
Kool-Aid is just gross. Anyways.
All right. Well, you take L's all around.
Michael asked if Kool-Aid's injury was any concern to you guys.
No, I don't think so. I mean,
I don't think so.
They don't seem very concerned about it. I think he'll be ready to roll for the season. So, and he ran his 40 time on it. So,
yeah,
that's fair. That's a good point. Steve said, didn't Kool-Aid start as a true freshman for Saban?
I believe so. Yes, he's played for 3 years.
Yeah, that's impressive. Okay, number six, I have Cam Hart. Jake, who is your number six?
That's why I have TJ Tampa.
I like it. Simon, that's another cool name. Yeah. Simon, who's your number six?
Maybe this won't be as easy. I have Ennis Rakestraw.
All right. Oh. Well, I mean, our top five will be easy. We're just doing. Top
I don't.
Five
I don't have. I don't have Hart on my list. He just missed mine.
Okay, Brian, who is your number six?
That's where I have TJ Tampa, my other guy. So TJ Tampa, another guy, has really good size, speed, 6'1", 189 pounds, 4.45. This would probably, when I was looking at it, if we can get him in the second round, this would probably be one of my favorite picks of the draft, to be honest. Great combination of size and speed, has long arms and upper body strength, making him a really good, strong press corner. You know, he's good at flipping his hips and turn with a running with the wide receiver and put himself in a really good position to maintain close coverage and make plays on the ball. He isn't afraid to get involved in the run defense. He can thrive in both man and zone schemes. Last year, he played 774 snaps, only allowed a QB rating of 54.8. So really just kind of another guy that needs to tighten up his technique when tackling, and he can get caught playing too aggressive again. So, and that's kind of a theme we're seeing with a lot of these guys. But I really like TJ Tampa. I think he would be a phenomenal second-round pick.
Yeah, I like that one a lot.
The Packers hit home runs in the second round, so.
Yeah.
Just don't pick them in the third. We're good. Yeah.
Well, they killed
Tucker
that.
Tucker Kraft is destroyed.
They killed that.
All right, yeah.
I hope we, I wouldn't mind if we package like both of our threes and move way up early in the second round and have like three second-round draft picks. I'd be.
I'm down.
Totally okay with that.
Yeah, I mean, yep, I'm
down.
Whatever Goot wants to do, I trust him now.
Yeah.
People. Or trade back out of the first and pick up an extra second.
Yeah.
Have 4 second rounders.
Well, what I want
lit, day two would be so lit.
Yeah, we're just like, all right, guys, we'll talk to you tomorrow night. Every tomorrow. 5 minutes when the Packers are making picks.
I don't think they could ever flip it to a next year's first, but if they could somehow flip this year's first to a next year's first, like say like Kansas City wants to trade up and they're like, no, let's just, you know, give us your next year's first or whatever, which they probably wouldn't do. But it'd be awesome if we're at the draft next year and we have
they
two.
They did it for the Saints in what, 2018?
They did.
Yeah. So.
Steve said he saw a YouTube mock today where we traded up for Terrion Arnold at like 19, gave up.
If he falls there, I would be all for
41 to pick up another third. Yeah. Huh. Not opposed to it. I would do the same deal for a guy like Jackson Powers Johnson, for
yeah.
example.
Yeah.
I'd do the same thing there. Okay. So number seven, that's where I have Mike Sainra still from Michigan. Jake, who is your number seven?
That's where I have Max Melton.
Okay. All right.
That's my other guy. Obviously, outside of having two brothers on the same team, which would be pretty cool, the iron sharpens iron and all that kind of stuff, which he has said in interviews. He's an elite athlete. He's in the 99th percentile in a broad jump, 94th percentile in his vertical, and he ran a 4.39 40. This guy just straight up is a great athlete. Both of his parents were D1 athletes at Rutgers. His brother obviously went to Rutgers and is now an NFL wide receiver, and now he's trying to be an NFL cornerback. So whatever those parents got going on, man, they're just making NFL babies, man. But he's physical and aggressive in the run game, doesn't shy away from running backs running at him, and he shows the ability to be disruptive in the backfield, which I really love from a corner. Still to this day, one of my favorite highlights is Jair running over Adam Thielen and just
dude, that play is goated.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite plays of all time to watch. Yeah. I watch that on YouTube consistently. I just look up random sports highlights all the time, and that's one of them. But Max Melton showed the ability and not afraid to do that kind of stuff. He's a very high motor guy, strong ball skills, and he has good size and length to be effective in coverage against taller wide receivers. I saw him matched up against big guys a lot. And you know what? We keep talking about these guys being grabby. I think that's just an attribute that these college guys have, right? Because when you get beat, what's a human reaction? To grab, right? So all these guys, I think, have that problem. I think every single one. I think there's NFL corners. I mean, do you guys remember watching Charles Woodson? That guy got away with murder every once in a while. But because he was Charles Woodson, they let it go, right? So I think that's just a human reaction. So that's probably something that he could work on. I think all corners could work on it. But other than that, man, I mean, I actually like Max Melton outside of, like I said, having his brother on the team already. I think he'd be a great fit in Green Bay. Has a NFL attitude as well. So having his brother in the NFL has probably helped with that. But you could tell he carries
one of the first players that I talked to at the Senior Bowl, and he was just, like, super fun to talk to also.
I loved his answer about, you know, what he said about his brother and realizing, because he really realizes it's just not going to be easy for him in the NFL. He's going to have to try his ass off, you know what I mean? Even though he has all the athletic ability, everyone around him has similar athletic ability.
The talent jump from college to the NFL, that's where, like, as much time as we spend putting into the draft and, like, understanding players and stuff like that, we will end up going through probably 200 players and scouting them in depth, and 10 of them will end up being prominent NFL players that then down the line, the four of us will be like, okay, we understand these guys because we scouted them. But there's going to be a lot of these guys that we scout that end up out of the league in 3 years, 4 years, playing in the UFL or the Canadian Football League. And that talent jump is real. And that's why we'll say things like the draft is a crapshoot. It really is.
What do you mean? I thought the game was slow. Chicago Bear fan. I mean, enough to be a fan, probably.
Game is slowing down, huh?
I think the thing people miss too is, like, we don't get to see the intangibles of the players. Like, we don't get to interview them, sit down with them, see what kind of person they are, what kind of work ethic they got. Well, I mean, you did a little bit, but
I got like a 2 minute.
Like, not as much as like scouts see. So, like, when people are like, oh, why did this person fall? Like, there are probably reasons why they fell.
Yeah.
And
Rashee Rice, does that ring a bell? I'm not trying to dog him because we don't know all the details, but There's talks about it. There's a reason he fell to the second round. That guy's a first round talent. That guy's amazing. He's so good.
I liked him so much last year, too.
I feel like these Packers do so well, like, addressing these kinds of issues too. Cause this is not like the first player that we've all liked for the Packers. We're like, maybe we can get this guy. And then also the next year or 2 years later, he's getting arrested.
I don't remember the last time we had like an actual issue was like John Jolly.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
He couldn't stay off the lean. But
I didn't think we were going to say it out loud.
I mean, that's the last time you heard somebody say he was on the purple stuff. But, like,
shit, man.
I mean, like, we're talking about Kool-Aid 10 minutes.
Like, ago. I love his name is kind of escaping me right now, but the linebacker that went to the Bengals that was trying to kill, like, Antonio Brown and stuff. I love that dude coming out of college. Yeah. He was a head case as well. So, and we didn't draft him. And then, so.
Yeah, it happens.
He gave Antonio Brown CTE, dude.
Dude, for sure, for real. Yeah.
CTE ESPN, man. Dude, yeah. His Twitter, by the way, is fire.
AB?
Yes.
Dude. Yeah, it's so
it's wild.
It's a trip. If you haven't looked up Antonio Brown's Twitter,
it's like
not around. If you're a child. If you are a child, do not look this up.
Oh, yeah, like adults only. Yeah.
Like.
But also, anything you kind of have to be.
Kanye West is probably thinking Antonio Brown put on Twitter.
He's like, wrong okay. Allison. You remember
right. I don't even know where we were. I think we were at seven.
Seven, yeah, seven.
Okay, did everybody give their sevens?
Hold on. No, I don't think so.
You got to do Bryant and Simon yet.
Okay. Yeah. Everybody finish up number sevens, and then we're going to move on.
Catching straight. Who would have thought? Brian, who's your seven?
Ennis Rakestraw.
Okay.
I have Mari Lassiter.
Okay.
Missed my list.
Jake, you gave your seven?
Yep, that was Max Melton.
Okay, yep, okay. All right, number eight, I want to touch on this. I have two guys, but I want to give this guy a little bit of credit and a little bit of love strictly for one of the connections. So number eight is where I have Elijah Jones. He's from Boston College, and Halfley was announced as the defensive coordinator when I was down at the Senior Bowl. And I'm like, Jake, I need to know if there's anybody from Boston College here. And lo and behold, Elijah Jones was there. The next day, I was waiting after practice, and I'm standing there, and I got my Wisco Fanatics t-shirt on. Thank you to Wisco Ball for sending me a bunch that I could wear down there. Elijah Jones saw the outline of Wisconsin on my shirt, lit up. The biggest smile I saw from anybody while I was down there, including Max Melton talking about Bo Melton's breakout. Elijah Jones was so excited to talk to me as a person from Wisconsin after hearing about Jeff Halfley getting the defensive coordinator job. So outside of that, obviously the familiarity with Jeff Halfley, Elijah Jones is 6'1 and a half, 185 pounds. Like, it's decent size for a corner, actually. He had 8 pass breakups, 5 interceptions, and a forced fumble. A 9.4 missed tackle percentage, which is pretty low. And I get he's playing at Boston College, but he allowed 13 receptions on 40 targets. That's 32.5 completion percentage. And an 18.1 passer rating.
Jesus.
That is stupid low.
How many targets?
40. Like, you could probably just throw the ball.
What is it? You throw it at the dirt, it's like a 33 or something?
Yeah.
Like, if you just throw it at the dirt in front of you, it's like 33?
Yeah.
That's disgusting.
8 pass breakups, 5 interceptions. He also had 9 run stops.
He did that on 40 targets?
40 targets on 13 catches.
He had to have like 5 or 6 interceptions.
5 interceptions.
Hey.
8 pass breakups.
That's crazy.
He also played 2,736 career snaps.
ACC is not like a slub conference either.
It's not bad.
That's impressive.
I mean, don't they play NC?
And then Duke is starting to actually get a little bit of traction.
Yeah.
Not Tennessee.
Did they play Notre Dame this year?
I'm just going to pull it up now because now I'm drawing blanks.
I'm just going to add something about Elijah Jones. He made my list, not yet, but he's down a little bit lower. You know, him being 6'1.5 or 6'2, he has a 42.5-inch vertical.
Wow.
Oh. Yeah, bro. he's actually good. He's actually good. I enjoyed watching his film. He's a very, very fluid athlete, and his ball skills are elite, bro. He finds the ball, and he goes and gets the ball. Obviously anywhere because he could jump out of the damn gym. So
yeah,
I'll be honest. I don't think I peeked at him.
Yeah, definitely. When we're done, look him up. So Boston College this year, they played Florida State. They lost by 2 points. They played Louisville, who ended up ranked in the top 15 for a lot of the season. They played Virginia, Army, Georgia Tech. They played Connecticut, who's got some guys that are going to be in the NFL. Syracuse, Virginia Tech, Pitt, Miami, and SMU in their bowl game. So a pretty decent schedule.
Mm-hmm.
So Elijah Jones introducing the familiarity with Jeff Hafley. And
I'm same with you, Simon. I didn't really even have him on my list.
No,
I would love to see him in Green Bay.
Immediately when Tyler and I were talking, found the name, I was like, I wrote the name down in my Packer section because I'm like, I got to watch this guy when we do our corners. And he just ended up making the list. He's a good player. He's got good, fun film.
Yeah. All righty. Jake, who is your number 8?
That's right. I have DJ James out of Auburn.
Okay. Simon, number 8.
Damn, that's crazy. Sorry, I was looking at it. I'll let you show and stuff.
Dude, his stat.
I got number 8 is TJ Tampa.
Okay. Bryant, number 8.
Max Melton.
Okay. Number 9 is where I have TJ Tampa. And you guys have him a little bit higher, and I could see it. Like, I actually think he'd be pretty solid. Jake, who's your number 9?
That is where I have Elijah Jones.
Okay. Simon, number 9.
This is where I have Mike Strainestill.
Strainestill.
Thank you. Sorry, misread. So he's my guy. And when I kind of chose him, because I loved his game, when Tyler and I were talking, if this dude was like 3 or 4 inches taller, he'd be in one of the top, you know, top 3 or 4 corners taken this year.
Yep.
He's 23 years old, 5'9", 182 pounds, and he has a 8.51 RAS. And really, the only reason it's that low is because of his size.
Because he's short.
But this dude is a fiery competitor. Played mostly in the slot with over 400 snaps this last year. A lot of completion percentage of 58, a pass rating of 71.8. Allowed 412 yards. He had 6 forced incompletions and 6 interceptions, and he really excelled in zone coverage. Pros, excellent reaction speed. Why did I Wow. I'm not even going to tell you what I did. Acceleration and closing ability. He's a very physical player. He really looks out to go after contact. And he's, like I said, he's just a fierce competitor. The cons, he lacks elite long speed, loses contain to the sideline and run defense, and the limit in size and strength can really present some challenges with some of the bigger receivers.
Steve asks, do you fellas take the Packers thresholds into account with your rankings? You probably told us before. What do you mean?
I don't either.
Well, Simon, you had Nate Wiggins, number one, knowing that we're not taking him, right? I did adjust it a little bit because I didn't think we would take him. So that's why I had Nate Wiggins at like 3 or 4 or whatever I had. So I took it into account a little bit, but.
So what I would say as far as the Packers are concerned with our rankings is I don't do my rankings as like, here are my top 12 best fits at the position for the Packers.
Yeah.
I don't know. But I will say if I'm looking at, say I hadn't used attitude to decide to put Nate Wiggins over Kool-Aid McKinstry. But if I was looking at two guys and say one of them was a better fit, this is probably going to happen with running backs, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Probably going to happen with running backs. So I'm looking at two running backs and I'm like, okay, this guy is similar to Josh Jacobs versus this guy is similar to AJ Dillon. Which one are we going to need to replace sooner? Like, I'm going to put the AJ Dillon guy, the AJ Dillon similar play style ahead of him. Like, if we're looking at my big thing with running backs, I'm going to be looking for a guy who's reliable in short yardage. So if I have a guy who's maybe shiftier and smaller versus a guy who's really good in goal line situations, like that'll probably be a tiebreaker for me. But I'm not gonna build my rankings strictly off of that.
And honestly, I don't really agree with that. I'm going to be looking for like that a little smaller back to give the, not that like Jacobs is a slub in the passing game, but like I might put a little guy that might be more Aaron Jones-esque ahead of like a Braylon Allen, who's like a bigger back.
What about like a third down typical receiving type back?
Yeah, and I might put a little more. Like I mean, it really depends. There's a lot of things
we'll need in this draft. If we're gonna grab a running back, I don't want to say it'll be a tweener, but I think it'll be an Aaron Jones-sized type of player.
Yeah, and my thing, like when I was looking at free agents, like short yardage for me was a big thing because AJ Dillon's big. Like we needed him to be able to push the pile, to move the chains, to get in the end zone if you're running the ball inside the 5 yard line. That's why I wanted Gus Edwards. That's why he was my number one free agent running back target. And again, like you said, Josh Jacobs isn't a slouch, but for me, I'm looking at like who's going to be RB2.
And that's why I wanted Antonio Gibson.
That's totally fair. Totally fair.
That is actually
Steve said Sane Ristill is an absolute stud pound for pound. Yeah.
I agree. I think he's like, if you're looking at pure football player standpoint, he's probably one of the, like, I don't know, the top 10, 15, 20 guys in the draft.
Is he 5'9 or 5'10?
He's 5'9, dude. It's not like close.
Yeah. I would say the fact that he plays a slot, it could be okay, but you started to see us put Christian Watson, who's 6'4", in the slot.
And that's kind of like why he's a little lower ranked on my rankings. Is like Green Bay is not going to draft Sane Ristill.
You go ahead, Tyler. You can say what you want to say.
The Packers are elite at moving guys around.
I'll just say this: the NFL is kind of turning into the NBA in this sense, where they call it positionless basketball.
Yeah,
there's not guys that are just strictly slot guys a lot anymore.
Yep.
That's why I said what I said about defense when I did my live on Monday, is base defense really is a 2-4-5. It's nickel defense because you're always in the nickel. So that's why you have to have two guys in the middle that can, you know, especially in run defense, that can demand a double team or beat their guy one-on-one. You have to have that. Otherwise, you're not going to be a successful run defense. You have to have linebackers that can shed blockers, which we're going to talk about linebackers next week, so that'll be exciting. But those are things that you have to be able to do in the NFL. And absolutely, especially it started with Davante Adams, where what am I talking about? I got confused for a second. We're talking about Davante Adams. They moved him around a lot in the slot. And Matt LaFleur got really used to that. That's why I think he got so good at moving Christian Watson into the slot, because he figured out you don't have to be a 5'9 quick guy to get open. And I'm just going to tell you right now, Dontavian Wicks is about to feast from the slot, dude.
And then he's Then you throw a guy like Jaden Reed in the mix who can line up anywhere.
Yeah. I like him on the outside a little bit more, to be honest with you.
Well, I mean, we talked about it when we did ours, when we had these conversations last year, and we're talking about wide receivers, and we're talking about Jaden Reed, and we bring up contested catches, and it's like, as Badgers fans, we have PTSD, and now I'm not going to say something else. Now we have it on our side. So it's, yeah, that's where we're at. Okay. Just,
I think I know where you're going.
Did I get everybody's number nine?
No.
Yes. Okay.
Simon, did I get your number nine?
Sorry, I was looking at Jaden Reed's slot snaps compared to outside last year.
Gotcha.
When we talk about something that I don't know, I just immediately look it up. Number nine. Yeah, it was Mike's strength.
Okay, that's where you had Samer still. Okay. Yeah. Brian, yeah. Who's your number nine?
That's where I have Renardo Green.
Okay. Number 10. 10 is where I have Max Melton. Jake, who's your number 10?
That's where I have Rake Shaw Jr.
Okay. Do you guys want someone who knows a lot about mid? I don't know. Simon.
Sure.
Wait, what?
Oh, basketball or MLB draft. We've kicked it around. MLB, not quite as much.
That's a pretty dry draft.
It takes so long for guys. Isn't
that like 20 rounds?
25 yeah. rounds or something like that. It's like golly. The NHL draft, dude.
So Tyler and I recap the Brewers draft picks. We've done that before.
Yeah, yeah. That's yeah. We've
done that for the Bucks as well, but we've never really dove deep in, because you know, since we've started this show, the Bucks have kind of been either picking in the late first round or late second round, or they just don't have a pick. So I don't really know what the point of, you know, scouting guys that are ranked 69th and 70 in the draft, what that would be worth.
Didn't you guys do like a NBA draft thing a couple years ago where you liked prospects? Maybe it was last year. I can't remember.
We probably did. Someone.
Yeah, we picked like I remember we each picked three guys that we really liked.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. it's weird because I actually picked can't think of it how to say his last name. The guy from Kentucky, Oscar
Meyer Wiener.
Yeah, I actually picked him on my list, and then he was the one that started the. The Giannis stuff with the ball this year. So I was like, I got to rip that page up now.
Dustin, send the show page a message and we can talk.
Yeah.
All right. Brian, who's your number 10?
That's probably Mike Sanders still.
Okay. Number 11, I have Kyrie Jackson. Jake, who's your number 11?
That's where I have Cam Hart.
Okay. Simon, 11.
I hate you, Brian. Number 11 is Kyrie Jackson.
Nice. There we go. We have a consensus. We have a consensus number 11. That's the
there you go. We'll take that.
Brian, who's your number 11?
DJ James.
All right. Number 12, I have Chris Abrams-Drain. Jake, who is your number 12?
That's where I have Sane Russell.
Okay. Simon, number 12?
Max Melton.
And Brian, number 12?
Chris Abrams-Drain.
Nice consensus. Yes. All right. That does it for defensive backs. We will have 11 players total that we have consensus on in these 24 players that we just discussed. But next week we do have running backs and linebackers. That is going to be our final position group series part of this. So after that, there is one more Friday between then and the draft. That week will be our live mock draft episode. That's going to be April 19th. Mike Spofford is still slated to join us for that. So we're going to do some live mock drafts with the editor of Packers.com, who's been on the show a bunch of times before, if you've watched. And that'll be a lot of fun. And it's usually that's where we get to kind of show off some of the other knowledge about guys that we didn't talk about. Even though the four of us all have two players each that we discussed, we obviously had a top 12. So there's other guys that we've taken notes on and studied, but just aren't part of our thing because otherwise we'd be here for 4 hours every Friday night, each of us talking about 12 players that we all scouted. And there's more than just the top 12 that don't make the list. So between the mock drafts and the actual draft, which we will be live on Thursday and Friday, maybe we'll get hardcore enough to do Saturday. but Thursday and Friday for sure. And that's when we'll talk a little bit more about some of the other prospects as well. So join us again next Friday. And then Jake and I will be live again on Wednesday, talking about the Bucks and the Brewers on Wednesday. And then also a week from Tuesday is going to be our next watch party. Jake and I will be doing a pregame and postgame show for the Brewers and Padres. And then that is going to be part of our Patreon subscription starting in – actually, it's already started now, but those watch parties will be part of our Patreon subscription starting in May. And if you join our Patreon, that's when you get to pick the games that we will cover in May. So if you stuck around with us for the whole show or part of the show or commented along, we appreciate it. And, yeah, we will see – we will see you guys Wednesday and next Friday. So,
spoiler alert, I'm taking a wide receiver during the mock draft.
You would.